Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 21. For those of you who don't know, we go through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. And on Sundays, we're in the Gospel of Luke. And on Wednesdays, we're in the book of Exodus, going through the Word of God, but we're making sure that that Word goes through us. Father, thank you so much for this great opportunity to study your Word. Give us a timely Word we need to hear today. Thank you so much for this day you've given us. And so, Lord, do a work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 12, verses 1 to 21. The title of this message is Beware of Prosperity. Beware of Prosperity. Now, prosperity is a word that we hear a lot about in the church today. And I do believe that God wants to bless his people, but there is a danger to prosperity that we are not aware of that we're going to look at in these verses. And there are three things that prosperity can produce in us that Jesus is going to bring to our attention. Number one, hypocrisy. Number two, covetousness. And number three, being worldly minded. Look what it says there in verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trample one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The first danger to watch out for when you are prospering on your job or in your home as parents or as a spouse or in the ministry is number one, hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy comes from the Greek word hypokrisis, and it refers to the actors in the Greek theaters who wore masks to identify their characters. In the Greek theaters, they will have these masks with exaggerated expressions on them so people in the back can know the emotion they were trying to display. So a hypocrite in this day, they were actors. They were just actors. And Jesus said, when we start to prosper in our lives, we will be tempted to try to impress other people in order to hide the real us, which Jesus said is hypocrisy. Putting a mask on around people to hide who we really are. We will start to allow little things in our lives or back into our lives that will become like leaven that will permeate the whole loaf of our lives. Leaven was yeast in this day. Yeast works through the rotting process, and as yeast rots, it releases tiny bubbles that causes the dough to rise. And when we start to prosper, we will be tempted to get puffed up like dough. Pride sets in. So beware. I mean, this can happen to all of us. It happened in my life when the Lord began to really bless the ministry and bless the church. I started to think more highly of myself than I ought to. And I got around my other pastor friends and I had an air about myself, and it was a way that I carried myself. I didn't talk about what was going on here, but I just kind of gave off this air of superiority and thinking more highly of myself. And it was like leaven in my life. Leaven works on the inside and it starts small, but it will start to spread. And this is something that we need to be careful of. For many people, it starts with just a little nudity in a movie. Then it grows into the internet. It starts small by you giving him your cell phone number. Then it moves to you meeting secretly. And all these things can creep into our lives when we start to prosper. I'm always mindful of the enemy's tricks. When God began to bless, he comes with his attacks. I know it. All the time. I have to be mindful of those. So beware, Jesus says, beware of these things. Jesus continues to tell us the danger of hypocrisy in verses 2 and 3. Look what he says there. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Now, in these verses, Jesus tells us what would happen when we allow the leaven of hypocrisy in our lives. We would try to hide from people what is really going on in our lives. We begin to try to act more spiritual than we really are, but it is hypocrisy. We start to play the role of a Christian, which is not right. Why? Because Numbers 32 verse 23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. Not that God will track you down. No, but our sin will. So the result is we stop coming around the church as much. We stop coming around Christians as much because we're thinking they may see what's going on behind my mask. Oh, that they were looking at me the other day. Maybe they know that I'm not really as spiritual as I'm coming off. That I got something secret going on in my life. And all the time, it's hypocrisy. It's an act that you began to put on. See, many people think that a hypocrite is someone who is a Christian that's not living right. No. A hypocrite is a person that's not a Christian, but they have on the mask of a Christian. They're pretending to be one. They're really not. It's just a mask that they're portraying. Maybe there are too many hypocrites in the church. And I know what they're saying. However, a hypocrite is not a Christian at all, but they wear the mask of one. And all the time, there are many people trying to wear the mask, and they don't want people to see what's behind the mask. So they say, oh, whew, I better step away, you know, a little bit. I won't come around church as much, because the more I come around, the more they can peek and see behind my mask. So I better not hang around with Christians, because in that close setting, they really, so I'm not going to join a small group, because really my gig will be up if they see me in this close proximity. You hide behind the phrase, oh, you know, I want people all in my business, in our business as a family. Men say that all the time. And all the time, it's because when they come, they want folks here to think that you're more spiritual than you really are. And all you're doing is wearing a mask. And God is pointing these things out to us. Now, look at what verses 4-7 says. It says, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than that can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. Now, in these verses, Jesus gives us the cause of hypocrisy, which is fear. 5 times fear is mentioned in these verses, more specifically referring to the fear of man, the fear of people and what they think. And we end up what we end up doing is trying to impress people, to gain approval. And we end up men pleasers instead of God pleasers. We lie and exaggerate the truth to impress. Just like what Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. That word snare in the Hebrew is a word that means a trap. The fear of man has a way of trapping us, like an animal is trapped in a trap. And these verses gives us the 2 sides of fear. There's number 1, the fear of not being looked upon as being too spiritual. So many teens and adults don't go all out for Jesus for this reason. Kind of tone it down a little bit because you don't want that person to think that you're some fanatic. So you don't want to tone it down, so you tone down your lifestyle. You don't want people to think you're some fanatic by giving thanks for your food. So when you're at the job, you do the headache prayer. And just, you know, because you don't want people to think you're more spiritual. And you come off humble, but all the time it's false humility. And the fear of not being looked upon as being too spiritual. Then the flip side of that is the fear of not being seen or recognized as being spiritual. Don't they know who I am? I'm the Reverend Dr. Bishop Apostle, Right Reverend. so-and-so. Don't they know? They don't understand. And you have that side of fear. All of this is rooted in fear. The fear of man and what others think. Jesus concluded these verses by saying, don't worry about people. Instead, worry about God who has his eyes on you constantly. That's who the one that you ought to be afraid of. In other words, having the fear of God is more important than the fear of man. The fear of God is always the cure to hypocrisy because we can fool people with our mask, but we cannot fool God who can see the real us behind the mask. That he said, that's the one to fear. Look at verses 8 through 12. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, in these verses, Jesus gives us the second cure to hypocrisy, which is confession. The first cure to hypocrisy is the fear of God. The fear of God is always the cure to hypocrisy. The second is confession. So often the fear of man keeps us silent. We are afraid of rejection. If I talk about Jesus Christ, they may say, get that mess out of here. And I feel bad and I'd be rejected and I get in my feelings and I feel bad about it. So there's the fear of rejection. Then there's the fear of some perceived repercussions. If I share with somebody on the job, the boss may hear it and I might get fired. And so, you know, it's a bad economy out there. You know, it's bad. So, you know, so I just be quiet. Shh, I be quiet. And it's all rooted in fear. The cure is confession. What I mean, when you go to a new job, or as many of you are going to be transferring out this summer because of the military, when you get to your new military station, let them know up front where you stand with Jesus Christ. And watch and see how the Lord will begin to use you in the lives of those people. Because confession, or letting them know up front where you stand with Jesus Christ, will keep you on your toes spiritually and keep you from playing the role of a Christian, which is what a hypocrite is. Playing some role of a Christian, but really, you're just playing a role. No. You let them know up front. Hey, I'm a Christian, I stand for the Lord, and just, you know, and when you let them know up front, hey, that's going to keep you on your toes. Some people, they like to ease in a new job and just kind of want it. And for months or years, nobody even know you, let alone being a Christian, nobody even know you can go to church. No, you let them know up front. That'll keep you on your toes. You'll be, okay, I can't say that. I already told them I'm a Christian. You know, it'll keep you on your toes. Now, let's clear up what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is in verse 10. It is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, he who denies me before men, I will deny before the Father, and that sort of thing. So the work of the Spirit is to point people to Jesus Christ. John 16 verses 13 and 14 tells us the work of the Spirit is to point people to the Lord. So to reject Jesus Christ is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And when a person goes to their grave rejecting Jesus Christ with these words, I do not want that Jesus in my life, is unforgivable. It is unforgivable, and the unforgivable sin, because you die rejecting Jesus Christ. Simply put. Now, here's the thing. Now, I believe that there are many of you here today that are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You said, what do you mean? You're rejecting Jesus Christ. You're like, you know what? I don't want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. And the only reason you here is to try to get her, because she said, we cannot date unless you come to church. So you come to get her, or you're looking to get him, or you're looking to please them, and you have no desire to have Jesus reign and rule in your life, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day of salvation because, you know why? Because Jesus just pointed you out. And he's given you the motive of why you're here. And you didn't think anybody knew. But God did. And for that very reason, he just called you out. And now you know that God is in this place because he's revealed the secrets of your heart. Just like 1 Corinthians 14 says, the secrets of your heart is being revealed. And you thought, well, I'm just here, or you're here because it's Father's Day and he wants me to be here with him. Therefore, I just come and be here. And all the time, you really don't want Jesus reigning here. You want to live your life, have it your way. And you don't want Jesus being the Lord of it. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to get you before you take that attitude to the grave with you. That there's salvation through Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and making him the Lord of your life before it is too late. Look at verses 13 and 14. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Now, at this point, a man in the crowd interrupts Jesus and asks him to solve a family dispute. Now, in this story, Jesus is teaching us that there are areas we have no business getting involved in. In this day, the rabbis were expected to solve legal matters, but Jesus didn't because he knew it wouldn't be solved and it wouldn't solve the problem. You know why? You know why it wouldn't solve the problem? Because the real problem was covetousness between these two brothers. Getting involved in family disputes, trying to right every wrong, Jesus says, stay away from such things. So often we don't have the legal background or all of the story to make an informed decision. Most of the time we only have one side of this relative's story. Follow the example of Jesus and stay out of such things. Some of y'all in the midst of some family mess right now. And you think, you can handle that sort of matter because you've been watching Law and Order for so many years and you think you're an attorney now and you don't have a legal degree. You know, you haven't passed anybody's bar. Stay out of that mess. Half the time you only have one side of the story. Stay out of such things. Now, if something is clear in the Word of God, give them the scripture and let it be that. You're not an attorney. You know, just like the commercials. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the story. You're not a doctor either. You've been watching, you know, all these kind of, you know, Dr. Oz and stuff. And now you think you're a medical doctor or something. Stop. Stop that stuff. Stay out of these issues. And Jesus stayed out of it because the real issue behind these guys, they disputing over some mess. Tell them to divide the inheritance with me. I can't tell you how many times that's been echoed at funerals across this nation. Folks fighting over a few dollars that the parent left. A few dollars fighting, going in there, tearing up, fighting. He said I can have his guns, you know. He said I can have his shoes, you know. I'm getting daddy's coat, you know. That was my favorite coat, you know. Stop. Stop with the madness. It's madness. Jesus says, stay out of such things because what's behind the real issue is covetousness. This is why he said in verse 15, look at the first part. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. The second danger to beware of when you are prospering is number two, covetousness. The first is hypocrisy, putting on a mask. We already talked about that. Here Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Covetousness is to be greedy for gain or to be materialistic or to want something that belonged to someone else. I heard another definition of covetousness, which is wanting more of that which we already have enough of. For some people, it is the desire for more money or for things money can buy. Or desire for a position or power. Mark Twain once defined civilization as the limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. And more Christians are being infected by covetousness. Why? Because it feeds our lust for more. Gotta have more. And most of us, we feel bad about lying if we lie, or sexual immorality, or cussing. We feel bad. Ooh, excuse my friend. That wasn't French. That was English and some slang English. That's not French. I know a tad bit of French, and that wasn't it. And we feel bad. But when was the last time we felt bad for coveting? When was the last time we felt bad about coveting someone else's wife or husband? Or coveting someone's marriage? Or watch this one. Or coveting someone's singleness? Man, look, they free. They don't have to answer to anybody. Man, I wish I was single again. Man, I got this ball and chain that's called a marriage. Man, coveting someone's home or car, coveting a person's position or rank. When was the last time we felt bad for coveting? This was the sin that convicted the Apostle Paul. He tells us in Romans 7:7, he said, I had not known sin but by the law. I had not known covetousness unless the law says you shall not covet. Paul said that it was covetousness that was the sin he was guilty of. Why is covetousness so wrong? Why is it not right? Because it gives off that we're not happy, satisfied, or content with what God has given us. So beware of covetousness. Look at the second part of verse 15. Notice he says, life does not consist upon the abundance of things we possess. See, possessions are, they're so dangerous because they can possess us. Someone put it this way. Did you get a new car or did it get you? See, this is one area that we must beware of, because so often God's prosperity or blessings in our lives will appear to us in the form of material possessions. And the Bible says in Psalm 62 verse 10, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Our hearts need to be on the gift giver and not the gifts. And too often it's focused on the gifts. And this is the opposite of the world's view, because the world says life does consist upon the abundance of things we possess. Beware of covetousness. Why? Because material things come and go. Look at verses 16-21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger and greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for your many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. These verses give us the third danger of prosperity, which is number three, being worldly minded. Being worldly minded. We become so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good to the people God wants us to reach for his kingdom. And this man was so caught up with his goods and material possessions that he lost his focus on eternity. He forgot that he was going to stand before God one day. Notice this man's opinion of himself and God's opinion of him. He felt that he had it made. Life is good. My life is blessed and prosperous. But God said to him, you're a fool. In verse 20, why? Because his focus on his material blessings had clouded his perspective on future judgment. See, this is the danger of prosperity. It can cause us to lose our heavenly perspective and cause us to become worldly minded. We get caught up with building bigger homes, bigger careers, accumulating bigger toys. The question, who is it all for? God's glory or our glory? Building our little earthly kingdom or God's kingdom? This question gets to the very root of why we're doing what we're doing in this life. Are we doing it to further our kingdom or God's? Something to ponder this week as you're contemplating on working overtime every day this week. Why are you doing it? In order to get extra money to give to God's kingdom or to fund your little kingdom and to get more little toys and trinkets? Because you're looking at the Joneses and they got the latest thing. Therefore, you got to get the latest thing. The latest model. You got to have it. Oh, you know, he got an iPhone 5. So, you know, you got to stand in the line and fight the crowd. And you got to get the same thing. Or you got to get this sort of thing and that. So the latest thing. Are you getting it for your glory or God's glory? All right, I got to get the latest iPad, iTouch, whatever. I got to get the latest one. Well, it's for God's glory. Well, really? Yeah, you know, I download the Bible on it. And I can take some good notes. I got some of your notes, Pastor Tony, right here. Right in my iPad. And we can easily justify our actions. And there's nothing wrong. And now, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with technology and being up. And, you know, I'm not saying that all of us still should be using a 386 computer. And some of y'all don't even know. Some of the younger ones, 386. Pentium 2. What is that? See, I'm not saying that we should be outdated and stuff. I'm not saying that. But what are you doing it for? To further your kingdom or God's kingdom? See, this guy said, you know what? I got it good. Life is good. I'm being blessed and prosperous. So what should I do? I got all this stuff. You know, what should I do? He said, oh, I know what I do. I'm just tear down my barn and build bigger so I can have more room for more stuff. And God said, you fool. You don't even realize that judgment is coming tonight. He said, and all that stuff you accumulated, where is it going? I've heard of many stories of millionaires, billionaires died with millions and billions, left it to their kids, and they squandered it within a matter of months or years. It's horrible. And the thing about it is, what are we doing it for? God's kingdom or ours? Let me conclude with this. These are the three reasons we must beware of prosperity, because number one, it will cause us to become hypocrites, wearing a mask around people. The cure is staying in God's presence through prayer and his word, and he will show you the mask that you are wearing or the role that you are playing around people. When you're in the word of God in prayer, God will show you and say, you know what? You're wearing a mask. You every time you get around them, you put the mask on. In God's presence, through prayer and the word, he will show you the mask that you're wearing, the role that you're playing around people. Number two, we need to beware of prosperity because it leads to covetousness. Covetousness. We're never satisfied or content, always wanting more and more and being satisfied less and less. It's a vicious cycle. The cure is to realize that we cannot take any of these things with us. It's all going to burn in the end. You know, when you're stretched out horizontal in front of some church or funeral home, they can bury you in your car with your favorite outfit on and all your favorite outfits in suitcases in the trunk of that car. And for you ladies, another car for your shoes. They can bury you in all that stuff. You won't take any of that stuff with you. Nope. It is all going to burn in the end. Finally, beware of prosperity because it leads to number three, to being worldly minded. Thinking, acting, talking just like the world does. All of a sudden your counsel, it comes from talk shows and not the Bible. Your relationship tips come from worldly sources and not the Song of Solomon. And we invest our money in things of the world and not in the kingdom of God. The cure is to become a student of the Bible so you can develop the mind of Christ. It's through the scriptures that we have the mind of Christ. And that way, this will cause us to think his ways and not the world's ways. Finally, let me wrap it up with this. Today is the day of salvation for many of you. God showed you your heart and your true motives of why you're here today. And it's time to surrender your life to Jesus Christ while there's still time. You've heard me say many times, and I just keep mentioning because it's happening. I always told you that God judges people in the next life. God judges nations today. And God judges nations through natural catastrophes. And I've always said, always watch the weather in the United States. Watch the weather pattern. As I was in California, I just sat and I just watched the news. And the fires in Colorado. The fire broke out in California when I was out there. I heard about the storm that hit folks here. Many folks are still without power. As I drove around, I looked. I said, it almost looked like Hurricane Isabel back in 2003. And I said, whoa. And just look at the pattern. Because we said, God, we don't want you in our society anymore. We don't want your folks praying in the schools. We don't want your Ten Commandments on our courtroom walls. We don't want you, God. And if we could, we'd get rid of all the money that have in God we trust. And we'd get rid of all that. Because we don't want you in our lives anymore. God said, oh, you sure? You sure that's what you want, America? Yes. I've already told you. Every 4 years, God puts up a mirror to America and gives them a leader that reflects their values and their issues and their problems and their things. Therefore, I'm not shocked that the laws trying to get passed for certain groups and all this kind of, I'm not shocked. God judges a nation today. And I look and I watch the weather and I watch the pattern. I watch the natural catastrophes. And I said, and I just pray, God, be merciful. In your judgment, be merciful. God, bring about revival one more time. Bring about a move of your spirit one more time. And this is what I pray for. And this is what I ask. So for many of you, you're going to be part of the last day's harvest of souls coming in. And it's time to stop playing games and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Moved by your Holy Spirit in the midst of your people here. Lord, there are some of your people here that's been wearing a mask, wearing the hypocritical mask. There are some, Lord, they've been coveting. And there are some who are worldly minded. And Lord, I just pray that you'll draw your people to repentance. And Lord, there are some today that you pointed out their true motives of why they're here. They're not here to make you Lord of their lives, but they're here because of their parent, or they're here because of some girlfriend, a boyfriend. Lord, I pray that today will be the day of salvation, that they repent of their sin and believe that you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Draw them to you by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Do a work today in Jesus' name. Amen.